So now you'll be coming up to the Kitchener-Waterloo, Canada area, to do a film music concert as a conductor. So what do you do to prepare as a conductor to do this sort of thing?
Well, conducting, don't forget, is always has been. Not, when I say always, there was a time when there was not a conductor. There was an orchestra concertmeister who. But at a certain point, someone stood up and said, "This music's too complicated. I have to actually conduct this." Sometimes it began with the composer, and today, traditionally, the composer who is writing the piece of music will stand up. Not all the time, but many times the composer will stand up and conduct his own music because thinking that he has a better feel for the explanation as to how he wants it done, where the conductor's principal job, of course, is to bring out the music as the composer wanted it. Now, some can do it better than others, and even Stravinsky was not the greatest conductor of his own music, but sometimes composers get thrown into conducting, and some take to it, and I feel like I've taken to it. I have, of course, studied it, which doesn't matter much, but I enjoy doing it, and I not just my music. So you have to prepare the score. You have to actually know what the music is all about before you stand in front of 80 or 90 musicians who are going to play it. And every concert takes a certain preparation. Valkyrie, of course, takes a lot more preparation than a pop music concert. But if you have any integrity about you, and you should, then you must really prepare. You must go over the music, be clear at what you want to do in the performance, and be prepared to explain that to the orchestra. And you're given only a certain amount of time in which to do that. So there's always a preparation. And when I come to Kitchener-Waterloo, I will have my music for for most of it, primarily, because I feel the very first time I go someplace, I should be performing. Or if you don't know who I am, I will introduce myself to you. But to the Rocky music, For Your Eyes Only, The Bund, I've done Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Cagney and Lacey, Lifestyles, The Richard. I've done a bunch of music that you, if you are a moviegoer, might have heard. So I will do that, and I will bring other pieces of music that I happen to like also. And it'll be from the movie, but it won't take an explanation of this is where Lassie has a thorn in her paw, and you have to imagine this. No, you don't have to imagine anything. The music will either speak for itself, or I won't bring it.
So now, as a composer, your job is to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Silence as a part of the black that makes you see the white, or the white that makes you see the black, in a film becomes a matter of a director who says that that is not nervous with silence, and a director who says, "This is killing me. It's too slow. I need some music." So music can be added to a film for technical reasons, which is not the primary reason for it. But that silence that's on the screen that might have to have an atmosphere, that might have to have cover the camera noise, that might have to deal with the acting that's not, or the cutting. There's so many technical reasons why you could have music in a scene in the movie, including silence. And then the other reason, of course, is what music does primarily, which is deals with emotions and the feeling. It conveys the feeling of the composer to the listener. In the case of film music, which is if pictures are 1,000 words, and in other words, it's kind of see spot run. "Oh my God, I love you. I love you too." And then the violins begin playing. If you didn't need a picture of two people kissing to have them get into a romantic mood. So that's the easy part. But sometimes anticipating and waiting for that silence, in other words, when will the music begin? When is the right time for the music to start? She gets up, she's going to cross the room, he's going to his car, she's going to follow him because they just had a fight, And we don't know what's going to happen. So how long can we hold off? Is the tension more increased by not having music, or is the tension increased if I create tense music? So these questions are all answered between a director and musician, and you're going for the drama. You're trying to create this feeling that's on the screen. Now, that's why it's easy. You got a hint here. It's not so much like if you're listening to romantic music and it goes into your ears and you make of it what you wish. You hear Beethoven and you don't need to know that this is the storm scene. You can read programmatic notes and say, oh, this must be the storm, because the orchestra's banging around and there's the timpani. Music's not much about that, but it is about getting the feeling of something. So these decisions that are made as to when music plays and when it doesn't play does involve silence in a big way. Because if you make that mistake, I can think of times when I would say, when the music would say, I think we should have music here. And I go, boy, I really don't. I think it's going to take us out of the movie. I think I'm so into the moment right now that if I hear a piece of music. So that it's a big a topic of discussion for us when we decide to put music, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of my favorite scores that has actually just come out recently of yours is Masters of the Universe. Now, there are a lot more of your music that's been coming out lately. What's your involvement with this sort of resurgence of your music?
Well, the history of it, it's all economic. Let's begin with that. It's mm-hmm. not like they're like one guy over another guy. No, if it's not selling, it's not selling. For example, I did and received an Academy Award for The Right Stuff.
Yes.
Now, the Alan Ladd Company was the people that did the movie. There was a record deal. I know I'm going way back into the 80s, but I had a record deal. And I mixed the album, and everything was ready to go, except the film failed. No one went to see the movie, so the record company canceled the album. Okay, so that's one way, meaning there's no business, then there's no album. So you go a few years into the future, and the economy is such, like now, and this recent resurgence of some of the older pieces of music, of not just mine, but other people's, is that the musicians get paid a different, an entire different fee for the recording. Let's say you record a film and you pay the music, the musicians X dollars to release the record. It's a different medium, and they happen to get, let's say, the equivalent dollars. Well, and they've already played that music, but it's going out on a different media. Well, that could be very expensive for a record company. And as a matter of fact, film scores don't sell. It's 13-year-olds and, you know, those little people with the vulgarity and the whatever they're yelling at each other, that sells. I mean, people actually, even if you think, I won't go any further with that. But so today, all of a sudden, the musicians, unions, and the record companies, everybody realizes that, look, if I made a step deal, if you sold, let's put it out for the bare minimum, and if there are any proceeds, we will share, or whatever those deals are now. So people have come back to me and said, we'd like to put out, and they go, well, sure. I mean, I would turn over the tapes. They would actually do the mastering, and if I have the tapes. Mm-hmm. There was a project that I was asked about, and I don't have the music. I mean, the recording, so... It is kind of exciting. I remember the Masters of the Universe was a project that was recorded in Europe. I wasn't even there. It happened during some kind of a strike thing. Wow. And when the tapes came back, it took like 2 weeks of editing to try to make music out of it. I mean, with the mistakes, and that was a long time ago without the kind of processes we have today. Mm-hmm. But I'm really happy that it's getting out, of course. Mm-hmm. I'm pleased that people are doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I actually have your the brief recording of The Right Stuff that you did for Verez several years back, and it's excellent.
Now, that Verez recording, to interrupt you, is that while I was on a project in England, I asked Verez that if I recorded it, And if I put up the money, would they put out the album? And on that agreement, because I was in London doing a movie with the London Symphony, mm-hmm. I happened to call another session and recorded that, paid the bill, brought it back to Verez, and they, you know, repaid me.
What actually does the future hold for you? You've got you've done some wonderful music in the past, but there's got to be some more that you can offer us.
This has just happened. There was a movie coming out called The Perfect Game this summer, and because of my association with Paul Mazursky, including An Unmarried Woman and other movies with him, we're in the process of dealing with Moon Over Parador, mm-hmm. a movie of his that starred Richard Dreyfuss, Raul Julia, and Sonia Braga, about an actor taking over the part of a dictator in some fictitious South American country. Anyway, we're going to turn it into a musical. Oh. So a musical is on my horizon right now.
Cool.
Well, yeah, I'm not dealt in that area for so many reasons. That you, one of them you brought up, you work. You open one night, and then somebody kills you, and then it's all gone. And it's all on the speculation on the come, so that when you're trying to make a living and just move on, you have a family and you have a career. No one wants to stop to write a musical, because it's taking you out of the business. And either you love musicals, mm-hmm. you know, and you're just driven by passion to do it, that until this time in my life when I go, well, I'll take the time to do it now, because that sounds like fun. I've been asked to do it in the past, but it would cost me too much money to just sit down and write a musical, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Because you don't know it's going to go. I mean, if right. it goes, it's great, and if it comes out and dies, you've lost a year.
So how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote at the beginning of your career?
One thing's constant and one thing's changed. I'm basically a melodic writer. Mm-hmm. When I write, I use melody and think melody is more important than harmony and rhythm. Now, are they all important? Of course they are. That's mm-hmm. what it defines music. But I like melody. The melody can define character. You can get so much more information from melody than you can have from rhythm or harmony. You can get most of the information about a character through melody. So that's not going to change much. If I'm going to do something, and I have done projects, nomads. I've done projects that there's no melody at all, and there's just atmospheric stuff. And film is like the fashion industry. In other words, styles come, styles go. There's full synthetic scores, no melody. I've noticed that in the Academy Awards show, which I've conducted 19 times, mm-hmm. that over the years, in the beginning, you know, like, because we have to play a melody for every winning category. You know, in costume design, and the winner is this. Well, you play the tune from that show. But today, there are no tunes. We're in an era that does not want to define stuff by tunes. Mm-hmm. I'm saying in general. Right. Years ago, you would have a tune that would be with everything, and you go, oh, I didn't know what that... But there would be a tune connected with it. Now, when you think of all of the movies that end up getting nominated, there might be 15, 20, however it gets nominated. And you'd have to derive a melody from them to put it into that show format. You cannot, because melody has gone the way. So if you're going to write a movie today, you're going to try to change with the styles, if you care to do that. In my case, I'm not going to change much in terms of melody and emotion. I still think that it's about emotion. It's about all the human emotions that are going on. And if the film music doesn't get that across, then it's just, It's sound design. You know, we have people that are called sound designers. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I mean, and you say, are they valuable? I guess so. Shall we confuse them with musicians? I don't think they want to be confused with musicians. They're sound designers, and you can listen to a television or a movie, and you'll be aware of these sound designers, and they create atmospheres. And you go, well, you know, music, it's about emotion. Oh, we don't have any emotion in our movie. Okay. Oh, we only do destruction and, oh, okay. So when things change, then the people making it change, and maybe sound designers will totally take over from musicians. And then maybe the big music will come back. Maybe music with melody will come back. Mm-hmm. I don't see anything evolving. I just see things in, it's out, it's in, it's out. I don't have that problem of having to make a living, so I don't have an anxiety level about it. I have definite thoughts about music, but I have no thoughts about, oh, I wonder where the film industry is going. I just...
Well, I really appreciate the time that you've given me today.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I'm really looking forward to the show.